Part 2. You will hear an interview with a psychologist called Dr. Jennifer Pendleton. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at Part 2.
Now I'd like to welcome, or rather welcome back, Dr. Jennifer Pendleton, who's here in the studio to talk about teenagers' relationships with their parents. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bob.
We've had plenty of letters about relationships this week, and many of them have been about the arguments teens have with their parents. I know it's not unusual for parents and teenagers to argue, but is it such a common phenomenon?
Most definitely. You see, as young children, teenagers had their whole world controlled by their parents. Things like their toys, their clothes and pajamas, and the colour of their bedroom walls were decided by their parents. The young children had very little, if any, say in these matters. But as children grow into teenagers, they develop their own identity, which can be very different from those of their parents.
And that means they have different opinions, thoughts and values.
Exactly. The arguments begin when the teen's opinions differ from those of his or her parents. For example, parents might make a rule for their teenage son or daughter to be home by 11 o'clock, but this time may seem ridiculously early to the teenager. This can cause tension, and when the teenager comes back at midnight or later, there can be a serious argument.
In such a situation, who would you say is to blame?
I don't think you can blame anyone, as it's just a phase in the parent-teen relationship. The teenager is being influenced less and less by his or her parents, and more by a peer group of teenagers they hang out with. So, teenagers generally get angry with their parents because they don't feel they are getting enough respect or space at home. As far as parents are concerned, they get angry because they dislike the idea of not being in control any longer.
How can difficulties like these be overcome?
I think that communication is the key to solving problems that arise from this wish for teenagers to escape from parental control. By that, I don't mean a parent saying, "This is my house and you'll do what I say while you're living here," or a teenager replying, "I'm not a child so you can't tell me what to do." Such exchanges won't help. It's far better to express opinions calmly, so that an agreement that will satisfy everyone can be reached.
That's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because parents and teenagers very often see things in totally different ways. When parents make rules, they are most probably just trying to protect their teenage son or daughter from everything they consider harmful. Teenagers, though, interpret this as interference and an attempt by their parents not to give them enough space. Even when a parent is genuinely interested in something in a teenager's life and has no intention of trying to control the teenager can often feel that just by asking questions, the parent is putting pressure on. This can result in the teenager not mentioning anything to their parents to avoid questions that make them feel uncomfortable.
What would you say, then, is the right way for teenagers and their parents to communicate?
By being open and establishing trust. As this trust develops, the parents will begin to accept a teenager's independence. One good way of forming a strong relationship is by parents asking their teenage children to help make decisions that affect the whole family. For instance, they could be asked for their opinion on what make and model of TV should be bought for the living room.
And this, presumably, would bring the family together.
Yes, it would indeed. Of course, even in the simplest matters, there may be some disagreement. As in all cases, it is very important to disagree without showing disrespect. I mean, responses like, "That's a stupid idea," don't help. It's much better to say something like, "I'm not sure about that because," and give a reason.
That's good advice, but aren't there times when a teenager might want to discuss a subject they don't feel comfortable with?
Yes, there are. And again, I would like to emphasize how important it is to get things out into the open and not keep them inside. In such cases, it is essential that everyone involved in the discussion should listen to the other point of view. Responses such as, "Here we go again," when views and opinions are put forward, are negative and will not help the relationship one little bit.
Thank you, Jenny.
Now you'll hear part two again.
Now I'd like to welcome, or rather welcome back, Dr. Jennifer Pendleton, who's here in the studio to talk about teenagers' relationships with their parents. Welcome back, Jennifer.
Thank you, Bob.
We've had plenty of letters about relationships this week, and many of them have been about the arguments teens have with their parents. I know it's not unusual for parents and teenagers to argue, but is it such a common phenomenon?
Most definitely. You see, as young children, teenagers had their whole world controlled by their parents. Things like their toys, their clothes and pajamas, and the colour of their bedroom walls were decided by their parents. The young children had very little, if any, say in these matters. But as children grow into teenagers, they develop their own identity, which can be very different from those of their parents.
And that means they have different opinions, thoughts and values.
Exactly. The arguments begin when the teen's opinions differ from those of his or her parents. For example, parents might make a rule for their teenage son or daughter to be home by 11 o'clock. But this time may seem ridiculously early to the teenager. This can cause tension, and when the teenager comes back at midnight or later, there can be a serious argument.
In such a situation, who would you say is to blame?
I don't think you can blame anyone, as it's just a phase in the parent-teen relationship. The teenager is being influenced less and less by his or her parents, and more by a peer group of teenagers they hang out with. So, teenagers generally get angry with their parents because they don't feel they are getting enough respect or space at home. As far as parents are concerned, they get angry because they dislike the idea of not being in control any longer.
How can difficulties like these be overcome?
I think that communication is the key to solving problems that arise from this wish for teenagers to escape from parental control. By that, I don't mean a parent saying, "This is my house and you'll do what I say while you're living here," or a teenager replying, "I'm not a child so you can't tell me what to do." Such exchanges won't help. It's far better to express opinions calmly so that an agreement that will satisfy everyone can be reached.
That's easier said than done, isn't it?
Yes, it is, because parents and teenagers very often see things in totally different ways. When parents make rules, they are most probably just trying to protect their teenage son or daughter from everything they consider harmful. Teenagers, though, interpret this as interference and an attempt by their parents not to give them enough space. Even when a parent is genuinely interested in something in a teenager's life and has no intention of trying to control the teenager can often feel that just by asking questions, the parent is putting pressure on. This can result in the teenager not mentioning anything to their parents to avoid questions that make them feel uncomfortable.
What would you say, then, is the right way for teenagers and their parents to communicate?
By being open and establishing trust. As this trust develops, the parents will begin to accept a teenager's independence. One good way of forming a strong relationship is by parents asking their teenage children to help make decisions that affect the whole family. For instance, they could be asked for their opinion on what make and model of TV should be bought for the living room.
And this, presumably, would bring the family together.
Yes, it would indeed. Of course, even in the simplest matters, there may be some disagreement. As in all cases, it is very important to disagree without showing disrespect. I mean, responses like, "That's a stupid idea," don't help. It's much better to say something like, "I'm not sure about that because," and give a reason.
That's good advice, but aren't there times when a teenager might want to discuss a subject they don't feel comfortable with?
Yes, there are. And again, I would like to emphasize how important it is to get things out into the open and not keep them inside. In such cases, it is essential that everyone involved in the discussion should listen to the other point of view. Responses such as, "Here we go again," when views and opinions are put forward, are negative and will not help the relationship one little bit.
Thank you, Jenny.
That is the end of part 2. Now turn to part 3.